My apologies to anybody listening to the recording. We forgot to record some of the preamble of the shiur, but we're just at the top of 19b of Yud Tes Amud Beis, which is exactly where we left off. Nene kebachati pruta. If you benefited one half of a pruta's worth, upagam kechati pruta, and you depreciated the item in value by one half a pruta's worth. Oh, or shenehene b'shav pruta b'davar achad, upagam b'shav pruta b'davar acher, or even if you benefited a full shav pruta of one thing, and you depreciated a full shav pruta of something else, lo ma'al ad sheyehene b'shav pruta v'yifkom b'shav pruta. You do not violate the laws of Mila until you've benefited from a shav pruta and caused depreciation of shav pruta. Again, obviously we're talking about a situation where both are required. We're not talking about a situation where just hana is required, obviously. But the bottom line is, you need to have a full hana of shav pruta and a full pigam of shav pruta for those objects for which hana and pigam is required. It's not enough to just have one shav pruta between the two. Okay, that's the first halacha of the Mishnah. Okay. Let me just reread that right again. I should reread that line because I missed a couple of words. Loma al, you do not commit meila ad sheyehene b'shav pruta, until you benefit from one shav pruta v'yifkom b'shav pruta, and you depreciate b'shav pruta b'davar echad in one in the same thing. Yeah, I didn't say that, but that's critical over here. Okay, b'davar echad in one single object. Now, says the Mishnah, it talks about a case called Moel Achar Moel. Okay? Generally speaking, something Achar something can mean a lot of things in the Gemara, but usually what it means in the context of Drash is when you specifically see two things in a row, so Miut Achar Miut, okay? Things like that. However, Moel Achar Moel, as well as some other things, mean repetitive. Okay? Moel Achar Moel means repetitive Me'ila. Okay? In Moel Achar Moel, there is no repetitive Me'ila, Bimuktashin, among those things that are sanctified, Ela Bibehema Ukleshares Bilvad. The only case you have this is in two cases. Number one, continued misuse. Okay, and the commission is going to be very clear exactly how this occurs, but continued misuse of an animal or of klesharet, of the vessels that were used for service in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, bilvad alone. Only these cases is there repeated misuse. What does repeated misuse look like? Ketzad, how is this possible?
So, once something is declared to be mo'el or ma'ul,
yes,
it's finished. So how can you re-ma'ul it?
Correct.
That's
meaning
because
it's been correct, because it's been taken out of sanctity,
it's
so
not
to say.
It's schooling already, in theory.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and the Mishnah says there are only two exceptions to this rule.
Okay.
There are only two exceptions to this rule. Let's see the two exceptions. What does it look like? Ketzad. Rachav al gabe behema. Let's say you rode on top of an animal of hektish. Okay, presumably an animal that's ready to become a korban. And now we're going to see the links back to the previous discussion. Okay. Uvachavero, and then your friend came, virachav, and he rode on it too. Uvachavero, and then his friend came, virachav, and wrote on it too. Kulan ma'alu. All of these people are liable for me'ila. Okay, all of these people are liable for me'ila. And again, the Gemara is going to discuss what makes the animal special. Again, why after one time this doesn't get removed from Hektish. The obvious thing that jumps out at us is that presumably, like we saw in the previous Mishnah, there's no pigam. Okay, there's no pigam in this case. Number two, let's continue. Shasta bekos shel zav. Let's say you took a golden cup that was used for service in the Beis HaMikdash. Uva chavero v'shasa. So again, you drank from it, your friend drank from it. Uva chavero and his friend came v'shasa and drank from it. Kulan ma'alu. All these people were mo'el. And we continue. Talash min hachatas, directly the previous case. If you pulled out some hair from a chatas, uva chavero and his friend came v'talash and also pulled out some hair. Uva chavero v'talash and his friend came and pulled out some hair. Kulan malu. Again, everyone is liable for me'ila. Meaning there's me'ila after me'ila after me'ila after me'ila, theoretically forever. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe presumably disagrees. Rebbe pipes up and he says, kol davar, any object, She'ein lo pidyon, that does not have redemption, yesh bo moel achar moel, has continued me'ila. Meaning, the reason why, explains Rebbe, and this is critical for understanding, the reason why by everything else in existence there's no me'ila achar me'ila is because, how did you remove it from its sanctity? Because it has pidyon. It has the ability to be redeemed. So if you, let's say again, there was something that was sanctified as hektish. Let's say something simple, okay? A non-Beis HaMikdash used cup. Okay, a non-Klei Shares cup. Regular golden cup, I was maktish. Okay, it's not going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Wrong measurements, all the things that are wrong with it, okay? Now, you could theoretically, yes, could theoretically, but that would constitute a shinui, a change, and might not be considered to be the actual object. The only reason I know that many, many years ago, it's a funny story, it was my first week, I think, or one of my first weeks at the Bayit, was Kiseitze, and they asked me, can you give the Minchas Chinuch Shir after the early Minyan? So the Minchas Chinuch Shir is a wonderful shir. It doesn't actually usually include pieces from the Minchas Chinuch, but that's what they told me. They said, you don't have to include anything for the Minchas Chinuch, but it's called the Minchas Chinuch Shir, and it's just meant to be an Iyun Shir. And there's 7:30 Minyan, so they finish around 9:30, like they're pretty fast, and then they learn. And lots of people stay till the end of shul. So I said, well, how long is the shir? And they said, however long you want. I said, no, but how long is the shir? And they said, really? You go on till you finish. And I said, yeah, but like, can you give me a rough estimate? And they're like, no. So I said, okay, anyway, so that was Parshas Kiseitze. So I gave a shir on Esnan Zona and Mechir Kelev. If you're not familiar with those topics, neither was I. Basically, they're an extremely obscure mitzvah that says you may not bring something that was used to pay a prostitute or something that a dog was swapped for. Beis Hashem Elokecha L'chol Neder, you can't bring that to the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, there we had the discussions of how that might apply. Do we say that also applies to a mikdash ma'at, to a shul? So, for example, is there such a thing as bad money? And what are the parameters of that as they pertain to the Torah, as they pertain to general guidance, but also we talked about specifics. Let's say you had, so we talked about melting down gold, and would that be constitute enough of a shinui in order to allow it to be used? So for example, let's say, again, you brought something, b'chir kelev, of money, and you melted down the money and used it to gold plate the Aron Kodesh, is that good enough? Anyways, but I went for about 2 odd hours, and then someone came over to me and said, usually it's a little bit shorter. Anyways, back online from the Mishnah, though.
He gave you the okay.
That's what I said. No, the truth is I still used to go about an hour and a half, I think, in those cases. Like, they were fine with that. Yeah. And no one said anything during this year. Only after listening. Somebody... After I said to them so many times, I said, so was that okay? I said, maybe a little shorter next time. Okay. Anyways, the bottom line is, Rebbe says, anything which has pidyon, okay... So. Does not have a second me'ila because it, therefore, okay, again, when the monetary value changes, it's sort of taken out of circulation and can be redeemed for money. And therefore, again, the person paying for the money and paying the chomesh and bringing the korban, that sort of removes it. However, you have something like this which does not have any pidyon, like a korban, right? The korban, again, like we saw in the previous Mishnah, there's no hana'a there. Why? Because there's no pigam, there's no pidyon for the animal. The animal cannot be redeemed. The animal
doesn't depreciate.
Therefore, it doesn't depreciate. So long as it doesn't depreciate, right, hana'a can happen multiple times if there's no pigam. And therefore, in this case, okay, in these two cases of behema and klei shares, of animals and vessels that were used, since there's no depreciation because they have no redemption, so in those cases, there's just benefit after benefit after benefit after benefit, and everything's good. Now, this is the opinion of Rebbe. It's unclear, as the Gemara will point out, if Rebbe is actually disagreeing at this point. It's unclear if Rebbe is disagreeing with the Mishnah or agreeing with the rest of the Mishnah, right?
I'm having difficulty understanding the concept of pidyon.
Mm-hmm.
As I was under the impression, probably wrongfully, that if somebody has a korban ola, right, they're going to bring an ola.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason they can't get that animal to the Beit Mikdash, they can redeem it for money and take that money to Beit Mikdash. That appears not to be the case that they're talking about here in the Gemara. If you cannot have a pidyon,
So put it this way: right. The world of excuses not to be able to bring a korban is a murky world. I don't know all of the halachos, but In cases where the animal has a mum, it is redeemable.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
In cases where, and the Gemara will discuss actually a different case. There are many different cases where there may be, due to some circumstances, redemption and some not. We know the Chatas has particularly very, very stringent laws because it comes for kapara. But ultimately, there are many cases where you may not redeem, and that seems to be what the Mishnah is talking about over here.
Right.
Again, that's not to say I know every case where redemption is okay or not okay. I don't. But I do know that that equation has been made by Rebbe, and that, again, the Gemara is going to talk about whether or not that's also the opinion of Tanakama.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Says the Gemara, money masnisin. Money is a question that's often asked at the opening of the Gemara. Money means who authored this Mishnah, right? Two things to point out just about that comment. Number one, when Rebbe comments in the Mishnah, just always interesting to consider who he was commenting on. But number two, okay, we have rules about who we assume Stam Mishnayos are and who we assume Stam Mishnayos in different areas of Shas are. I believe there's some places where we assume it's Mishnah Rabbi Yoshua, but a lot of times the main Tana that we assume is Tanakama is Rabbi Meir, right? That's the standard sort of approach. But the Gemara will often try to ascertain who the Tana of the Mishnah is, not often, but occasionally try to ascertain who the Tana of the Mishnah is, especially when you have other Brisos that seem to ascribe similar or opposite views to a particular Tana. Okay, so if we have a Brisa that specifically says Tana X totally disagrees with this Mishnah, so we'll say Masnisin Delo Karebi so and so. Whereas other times where we see something that's comparable, we'll say Mani Masnisin, it must be Rabbi so and so, because we see here this was his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's not to say that other people cannot agree. It's always this, right? There is no such person as Tanakama, there's no such person as Rabbanan. Oftentimes there was one particular sage that was known to have a particular opinion. It could be some others agreed, and sometimes Gemara even goes into that. Otherwise, we assume that if it's a unique opinion, that the majority disagree. But anyways, Mani Masnisin says to Gemara, who authored our Mishnah? Rabbi Nechemya he. We think it's Rabbi Nechemya. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braita, Ein Moel Achar Moel Ela Bibehema Bilvad. There is no Me'ila after Me'ila except for an animal. Okay, this is the opinion of Tanakama in the Braita, not equivalent to our Mishnah, because what's missing?
Kli.
Klei Sharis. Okay, the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Rabbi Nechemya disagrees, and he says, Behima uklei sharit, no, it's both. So therefore, concludes the Gemara, we know that Rabbi Nechemya was the author of our Mishnah. Why? Because he says an analogous opinion in this Braita. Okay. Asks the Gemara, Maitama, what is the reason? Okay, what is the reason for the first statement, and for this machlokas, really, between the Tanakama of the Braita and Rabbi Nechemya? Why would the Tanakama exclude Klei Sharet from his listing if, in fact, they don't have Pidyon? So why would the Tanakama exclude them? Says the Gemara, the Tanakama Savar, the initial Tana. By the way, I should translate the words Tanakama. Tana is the sage who presumably authored our Mishnah. Kama means first, like Baba Kama. So Baba Kama is the first gate. So Tana Kama is the first Tana. It means the anonymous first opinion. Okay? The Tana Kama Savar, that the first Tana holds. Be'inyana de Behem Aksiv. You'll remember we had the Chumashim out a few days ago. And the Chumashim, if you look, the entire context of Me'ila comes up amongst Korbanos, and specifically, okay, Be'inyana de Behem Aksiv, it was written in the context of animals, Dichsiv, Be'el Ha'asham. Okay, in that very area, it specifically says, Be'el Ha'asham v'nislach lo. It's talking about a Asham ram, okay, a guilt offering. So since it's talking specifically about animals in that case, that we assume is the only case where it's repeatedly relevant. Okay, because we don't see any reference to the Klei Sharis. And therefore, since it's topical to animals, so it stands to reason that animals would have a unique status. Okay? Right, and by the way, again, because that's what you bring, right? You bring an asham me'ilos. I should just clarify. Be'el hasham nislachlo, you're forgiven for bringing an asham me'ilos. Okay, so that's why In, right? This implies the ain mo'el achar mo'el ela behema bilvad. You can read Rashi to get a little bit more, okay? To get a little bit more depth into how exactly he derives this from the pasuk. Right? Rashi has a whole drasha there about how this specifically comes out from the words of the pasuk and what should it have said and what shouldn't it have said. But ultimately, the bottom line is there's a special status of animals in regards to me'ila. They are the only things, says the Tanakhama, that can have me'ila achar me'ila. Reb Nechemya Amar Lacha, and Reb Nechemya would tell you, no, I disagree. Kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, are we familiar with that concept, more or less? Okay. So just again, very briefly, and for those who may not be in the Parsha, kal v'chomer is one of the standard and most logical, or I would say most visibly logical ways of deriving halachos, where you have one situation which is considered more stringent and one which is more light. If we see that it applies to one of the cases, we can apply it back to the other case by logical reasoning. So for example, if we're applying a leniency and we see that the leniency applies even in the stringent case, for sure we should apply that leniency to the lenient case, and vice versa. If we're trying to apply a stringency and we see that stringency applies in a lenient case, for sure we should apply it to a generally more stringent case. And this is Reb Nechemya's kal v'chomer. Im acherim mevili kedushatan. We know that the klei sharet in the Beit HaMikdash, these vessels, okay, once you put something in them, there's this concept of nitkadesh bikli, that as soon as something is placed inside one of the holy vessels, that's when it gets sanctity. It can provide sanctity to other things, okay? Im acherim, if other things mevili kedushatan, it can bring them to their holiness. Hu atzmo lo kol shekein, would it itself not be able to essentially remain holy? Okay, what Rabbi Nechemya is saying is, again, logically speaking, that, you know, anything that's put in a klei sharet becomes holy, so the klei sharet, okay, remains holy, exactly. Right? Or Rashi's phrasing, again, kol shekein, this is in the third, it's in the middle of the Rashi hu atzmo, it's in the third medium-sized line of Rashi, because there's two very wide lines at the bottom. But says Rashi, right? Kol shekein sheyehei kadosh kol kach. Certainly, it should be so holy sheyehei bo moel achar moel, that it should have the status of meila achar meila. I like the formulation personally. Again, of it should be able to make itself repeatedly holy, meaning that it cannot be redeemed, and therefore that. But Rashi is dealing with the fact that we don't necessarily see the logic of redemption coming in yet. But the point is, okay. According to the Tanakhama, since there is something special about behema in the verses and the El Ha'asham and everything else, so only behemos may have me'ila achar me'ila, that multiple parties can be liable for each benefiting a shavapruta or more, one after the other, since the animal has no value. And Reb Nechemya disagrees, and he says, no, the klei sharet as well, they are holier than animals. They are holier than animals, and therefore we presume that since neither may be taken out of the hektish, and neither of them is monetary value, both of them will have me'ila achar me'ila. Questions? Okay. And again, just a note about the language, kal v'chomer often ends with the rhetorical question, lo kol shekein, would it not certainly be the case? Again, because it's important to know exactly what we're reading. It's a rhetorical question, the kal v'chomer. And again, im acherim mevili kedushatan, if it brings others to holiness, hu atzmo lo kol shekein, would it itself? Right? Is that not right? Exactly. It's very rhetorical in nature. So that's the kal v'chomer. Again, but used in many, many contexts. Do you want to stop here or go a little bit extra because we started late?
It's Monday. No, it's Monday.
We probably should say we have to get ready.
So. Okay, fine. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up here, Mirth Hashem, tomorrow. Yep.